This is an explicit podcast meant for those over the age of 18. Any views expressed in this podcast are based solely on our own experiences. This podcast does not constitute as medical or other professional advice. Welcome to Front Porch Swingers, where we talk about sex on our terms.
We talk swinging, hot wifing, BDSM, and so much more in the hopes that we will inspire you to enjoy sex on your terms.
Enjoy the show, everybody. Hey everyone, welcome to Front Porch Swingers. I'm Brenna.
I'm Brian.
So, Cassidy.com is going to be what we use to rendezvous with people when we go to Vegas.
Yes, absolutely. We are headed there in just a few short weeks, and we'll definitely be throwing some rendezvous out.
Yeah, so if you guys haven't used the Cassidy rendezvous feature yet, it's very handy. You can basically put out where you're going to be and when, and just congregate with a whole bunch of sexy swinger folks very easily. It's a great way to meet new people when you're traveling or in your own hometown. And if you want to check out that and many other features of Cassidy for yourself, we recommend going to frontporchswingers.com, clicking on the Cassidy banner, and starting your 30-day free trial today.
Yes.
Why wait any longer? It's the new year. Time to get some sexy, you know, shit under your belt.
Yeah, what are you waiting on? It's free. Jump on.
Yeah. We also have something else we're super excited to be talking about once again, which is the Energy Underground Lifestyle Summit happening in Deadwood, South Dakota.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. We're going to make a very cool road trip out of that. We're driving to South Dakota.
For sure we are.
It's going to be a good time.
You're going to have to stop 12 times, but it'll be
because you're like
it.
A seven-year-old in a car.
I get so just antsy. Yeah. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? That's
maybe
me in a car.
Maybe a sleep aid. Maybe I can just go straight through.
You're going to put me to sleep? All right. Well, I guess if it's with a cocktail and something,
yeah,
it'll be
fine.
We'll
figure it out.
You're driving, so.
Yeah, I love it. It's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so the Energy Underground Lifestyle Summit is obviously a whole bunch of lifestyle stuff going on. They're going to have, like we said, seminars and nightly parties and all sorts of fun shit. But Deadwood itself is very cool. It has some of the best spas, restaurants, and gaming lounges in the region.
Yep.
So this is really an opportunity for you to make a whole weekend out of it, or even a week. There are some people that are going for an entire week.
Yeah, it's a cool spot. I mean, it's like a very cool town with a lot of shit going on. Not to mention there's like a lifestyle summit, which just makes it that much more cool.
Yeah, you get to meet sexy people and do all of this awesome shit. There's also like gold mining and museums and
all kinds of touristy type shit to do.
Super cool stuff.
Do you think the town of Deadwood's ever had that many pervy, horny people in it at once?
Very unlikely.
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
I mean, maybe like back in the day because they had like brothels.
Yeah, it was totally, yeah, saloons and brothels. It was I mean, it's ideal if you consider you used to go on there, you know, having a lifestyle summit.
It's very fitting, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that is April 17th through the 19th of 2020. Once again, you can head to our website, frontporchswingers.com, click on the Deadwood banner and get all of the information necessary to book your trip. And if you do end up booking, you can use our promo code FPS2020 to receive 10% off.
Yes.
So do it today. You don't have much more time. April's right around the corner.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's really not that far away. It seems like it is. It's really not.
Absolutely. We also want to give a huge shout out and thank you to our newest Patreon members. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much to Andrea, Suresh, Marta, and Amy. Yeah. Huge thank you. And I really hope that you guys are enjoying the bonuses. I know I've had some good feedback on my naughty Snapchat this week. It's been a little slutty.
Well, you're a little slutty pants sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
This week was definitely one of those weeks.
For sure. Yeah. So you're going to be slutty pants later today.
I am, and I'm going to Miami, so I want to get some fun Miami shots of, you know, like tits and ass on Snapchat. So if you want to be a part of that fun, you can head to patreon.com/frontporchswingers. Jump on the bandwagon. Not only are you supporting the brand and us being able to expand and do some new awesome things, but you're getting some really fun bonuses, including our weekly bonus episode of Front Porch Swingers.
For sure. It's a very cool place to hang out with us at like on our private Telegram, and it's a good time.
Yeah, we also told our Patreon members this week how many times we had sex in the year 2019.
Yeah, because that app you had, I didn't even know that was a thing. You surprised me with that. I didn't realize it was an app to calculate how many times a year you've had
sex. I kept it secret all year, which is a big deal for me.
Yeah, that's very funny.
But it was a pretty staggering number, I think.
Yeah, and when you consider it was also, you shorted us a little bit because there were some things you didn't put in there if it was like us and maybe somebody else. And certainly you didn't count anything extracurricular outside of our sex.
It was just you and I. Yeah. I didn't count any like threesomes or anything.
Right. So yeah, it was very different.
It was a pretty huge number. So if you want to find out that number for yourself, as well as hear a bunch of other cool shit, make sure you head on to our Patreon community.
Yeah, hop on.
For sure. Yeah. So we have some, I'm going to go have some fun in just a few hours with Aiden, which I'm excited about.
Yeah. You're getting ready to go have a date with him.
And then after that, I go to Miami and I actually had a listener couple reach out and ask if they could buy me a drink while I'm there, which I'm excited about. I hope that schedule wise, we can make that happen.
Yeah. You've got a pretty busy schedule, but you're there for like two full days kind of.
Yeah.
So you'll probably figure it out.
Wednesday night, I'm pretty wide open. pun intended. So... hopefully we can meet up and, you know, we'll see. They're a very attractive, cool couple. So
yeah, and you're staying at a very cool spot with like a very cool rooftop bar. It should be a good time.
Yeah, beautiful, right on the ocean.
Yeah,
which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. It's much warmer there than it is here.
Fuck yeah, I'm gonna wear sandals for the first time in like 4 months.
Which is why I'm looking forward to Vegas just to get out of the fucking cold.
Yes. Hey, reminder for you guys: if anyone's going to Erotica in Vegas,
yes,
you should come to our seminars. 4 p.m. both days, Friday and Saturday, the 24th and 25th.
Yeah, 24 and 25.
And we're going to be at the ASN Lifestyle Awards show and the after party on Friday. So just hit us up if you're going to go. We'd love to meet some people and, hopefully have some sexy fun.
Yeah, we're going to be in Vegas for 23 to 26. So for sure, reach out to us and we'll try to figure something out. We got a lot going on, but we're gonna slip in some naughty time for sure.
There has to be. I'm not going to Vegas just to, fucking do not fun shit the whole time.
No, that's not going to be.
It's not an option.
No, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. And we get out of the fucking cold into the sun.
I want cocks in my mouth.
Digging it. Well, you're naughty.
Multiple.
So. You're just naughty. You heard it here, folks.
Shocker. They didn't know I was naughty.
Huge shock.
Why'd you spoil that?
I know. Sorry.
What else have we had going on?
We've had quite a bit going on. Lots of brand stuff. All kinds of shit happening with the podcast and Sex on Your Terms. Just a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Some of it good. Some of it's like we're not sure yet. It's still in the building phase.
We'll see. I mean, I think 2020 is going to be a big year for us. I mean, no matter what happens, I think 2020 is going to be an opportunity for us to be naughty with new people, and that's the whole fucking point of this.
For sure.
So we already have multiple trips planned and multiple opportunities to get naked with some people, and I'm ready for that.
Yeah,
I am so ready for that, because here's the thing. I love single guys. Obviously, we love the hot wife lifestyle, not shitting on it at all, but I am hungry for that four-way connection.
Well, because we just met some of our friends, last week? That came into town to visit us, and it was nice just to sit down. We didn't play with that couple, but it was nice to sit down with a couple and kind of have that four-way connection, just a conversation of like-minded people. And it's just different from when it's either a single guy or a single gal.
Yes. And although I said it last week and I meant it wholeheartedly, I loved sitting down with that couple. I love sitting down and talking to couples, period. But there is something electrifying about being naked in a room with four people who gel together and where the sexual energy is just on fire.
Well, we've talked about it before. The idea that finding a single guy or finding a single gal is super difficult in a lifestyle, that's bullshit. Finding a couple, four people on the same page is the most complicated.
Yeah.
That lends itself to the most obstacles. It's the hardest thing to find. And that's when it happens, it's very cool.
Yeah, but it hasn't happened with a new couple for a long time.
No, usually it's just our friends, our regular friends.
Which I like. I like that we have couples that we trust, that we've built a connection with, that we know going into it there's going to be no awkwardness or weirdness.
Right.
But I am hungry to have that new electrifying experience with a couple. It's something I fantasize about all the time.
And we'll have the opportunity, obviously, as we travel, because we got a lot of travel plans coming up. So we'll be meeting a lot of couples, I think, here in the very near future.
Yeah.
Leading up to the summer for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm excited for that.
It's going to be a good time.
I need it. I feel it's one of those things where in the lifestyle, obviously we have geared our lifestyle experiences more towards the hot wifing, which is totally fine. But there are also times when you're just hungry for things in the lifestyle.
Right.
And I'm hungry to be banging a hot dude while I'm watching you bang a hot chick.
Yeah, there's something about us being in the same room and having all of that energy transference going on. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
So we'll see.
We will.
We'll see what happens in Vegas and beyond.
Yeah, and beyond.
And Miami, I might be a unicorn for a night.
Yeah, that's something we have not done yet.
You don't like that term, but...
No.
I might be a single gal for the night. See, I can't say that, though, because I'm not a single gal for a night. So what am I?
Well, for the night you are. Temporarily.
No, I'm not.
Sure. Because
I still have someone at home that I answer to.
Yeah, but you're the single gal in town being entertained by a couple. So it's the same. for the most part. The right. fucking unicorn thing wears me out.
I know it does.
Because it's simply not, it's just not, a it's not unicorn-like. It just isn't.
It's not unicorn-like. What do you mean?
Well, the four-way connection is far more complicated, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I 100%. See what you mean. Yeah, for 100%. Sure.
We could have had, I mean, over the time, obviously we have our regular friend Hannah now, a single gal friend, but we could have hung out with single women this entire time. The problem is there were none that were compatible. It just didn't feel right. It wasn't, it just didn't work out. So it's not like there aren't a number of options that we have passed up. It's much more complicated to find the couples.
Well, it is. And I think what's interesting is we don't talk about this on the podcast because it's not the most positive or exciting or sexy part of the lifestyle, but we've turned down a lot of opportunities. I know we sound slutty and we sound like, you know, well, we just take whatever comes our way, but that's so not the case.
I've heard I've heard other people say in the lifestyle and in our space, oh, you know, we typically turn down 90%. We usually only play with 10% of the people that we ever meet. Yeah, I got news for you. We don't play with 10% of the people that we meet. No. Not even close. Mm-mm. So for us, 10% would be a big fucking number.
Yeah.
Based on how many people we come in contact with or who reach out to us or that we interact with, you know, digitally basically, or even face to face. We've obviously walked away from face to face interactions before. So 10% is a big number. If we were sleeping with 10% of the people that we had the opportunity to sleep with, we wouldn't be doing anything else. So, I mean, that's a huge number.
Yeah, it is. But I guess what I'm saying is it's, you know, yes, we seem like we're really sexually adventurous and we're always out there and whatever. But the truth of the matter is we're very, picky's not the right word. We're very particular. And I do think that we do a good job of choosing interactions now, especially that we've learned what doesn't work for us.
Yeah.
We're very good at choosing interactions that we know are going to be positive experiences. And we're very strategic in that way.
Well, I think now, unlike maybe when we first started out, and like a lot of people first start out, we've gotten our system down. Like we have a vetting process, which of course we're going to actually have the opportunity to talk about in Vegas to a room full of people. So we'll share that. But now that we've gotten that down, we just don't deviate from it. So there really is no flex. There's no flux in it. There's no room for bullshit.
Right.
You know, so it's either going to go along with the plan. It just, all the boxes are checked. All the I's are dotted. T's are crossed. Or we simply just pass.
Right.
So that, like, we're not, there is no longer an opportunity for us to give leeway. We don't do that.
Right.
We did. Couples and singles. We were doing that to begin with, right?
Yeah.
But
I think a lot of people do when they're
new. I think so too. But as you start to hone your skills, basically, of the vetting process, we've gotten away from that. So there's, like I said, the 10% rule is bullshit. We don't play with 10% of the people that we meet. So we've got that pretty well dialed in.
I don't think we have to either. Some people can just be friends in the lifestyle, and I love that. I love that we have
plenty of
people
friends
that we've met that are lifestyle people that we've never seen naked, and they've never seen us naked, and it'll probably always stay that way. And it's not because of anything other than that it's a friendly connection and not a sexual connection.
Well, I think also we've talked about this before. The idea that we've met, you know, we meet a particular couple, and this has happened to us in the past, that we genuinely like, not 100% sure whether or not playing with them will alter the way we all kind of get along and feel about each other.
Right.
And not want to really fuck that up.
Yes.
Because we genuinely like having friends that are couples and like-minded and you can talk to basically about anything. And we have opted not to try to fuck that up.
Right.
We've just left it alone.
It's like, nah, let's just not go there.
Yeah,
let's continue to go on the same path we've been on.
Yeah, even though you know that like you like each other, like in vanilla settings, we're at a bar or a restaurant, we're all just getting along and laughing and having a good time. And maybe there's even a little bit of flirtatious conversation. We also feel like, but if we take this thing to the next level and we don't all hit it off, we just fucked up a really good four-way friendly connection.
Right.
And so for us, that's like the most important
thing. It's not worth it.
No, fuck it. It's not. No, absolutely not. You know, we can find sexual partners. It's hard
to
find friends.
Yes.
You know, that's the finding sex is easy. We haven't been able to find as many friends as we want to, but the ones we have cultivated are fucking awesome and probably friends for life.
Lifelong friends, for sure.
Yeah, which is the main thing for us.
Absolutely. You know,
Vegas is another story. Hopefully we'll make some friends. Totally going to be fucking though.
I want to fuck.
So that's the thing. That's a thing. That's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got a lot planned. It's going to be a good time.
For sure. Okay. So we have to get to my favorite part of the podcast.
Yes.
Single guy tip of the week.
Yeah. So it was interesting. We got an interesting direct message this morning, obviously, from a listener and someone that follows us and we follow them. And he's a single guy. And he had kind of an interesting question or semi-single guy tip of the week type thing. I was going to share that today. I want to save that. I want to let that cook a little bit because it's interesting. I want to kind of give it some thought.
Okay.
So my original single guy tip of the week is pretty fucking simple. And this is not only a single guy tip of the week, this is a single gal tip of the week. Okay? Because what you don't know is I've also been trying to find you another girlfriend, another girl to play with.
Okay.
And what's interesting is that the single gals and the single guys have a lot of similarities when it comes to communication.
Interesting.
As much as I would have thought there was a much bigger kind of variance between how they communicate, that is not necessarily the case. Now, not 100% across the board. Some of the gals have been far more conversant and they have a little bit more to talk about. They're quicker to pull the trigger on a conversation.
Sure.
Right? However, I have run into a situation recently where it was almost difficult to discern whether I was talking to a guy or a gal digitally. And the biggest thing that stands out to me, I'm not shitting on anyone of a certain age, but I will tell you this. The people that I have been corresponding with under the age of, let's say, 45, 40, maybe 40-ish, the grammar is fucking horrendous.
Yeah, I hate that.
If you're a single guy and you are communicating with either myself or Brenna or a hot wife or a stag, and you don't take the time to actually formulate complete fucking sentences, properly spelled, proper punctuation, how do I expect that you're going to take the time to really get to know us, to get to know you?
Yeah, they're not taking it seriously.
No, this is obviously like not something that you're, it's like, once again, we talk about this all the time. This is a fucking job interview. You're interviewing is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And would you ever walk
into a job interview? But yes.
Yeah. Would you ever walk into a job interview with a resume full of grammatical fucking errors?
Never.
The answer is no. So why would you text me? And listen, if you're a single guy, listen up. Listen clear. Don't send me a fucking emoji. Don't fucking send me an emoji.
Men don't send other men emojis.
But if you're sending me an emoji under the assumption that I'm going to allow you to fuck my significant other, you have made a huge mistake. You send me a fucking smiley face or some stupid shit like that, we're done talking.
An eggplant?
Yeah, that would be terrible. Fortunately, I don't think anyone has done that to
me
yet.
Can I put my eggplant in your wife's peach?
Yeah, right. Yeah, don't do that.
None of that shit?
No, okay. Definitely not. But damn sure don't end a fucking sentence without a period, but with a fucking smiley face, because I just can't with you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's over. So as a single guy, once again, you are up against a lot of competition. You really need to, to up your game. And that starts digitally. We've talked about this before. Your digital game better be fucking on point, because you're never going to get in front of us.
Yeah.
Never going to get in front of you, for sure. So,
but it's an issue with the single women too. Fuck
yes,
saying.
It is. It just happened to me yesterday. Day before yesterday, we got hit up by a gal communicating with her. The fucking spelling is terrible. It's like not complete sentences. No punctuation.
Yeah,
just
and you know
dribble.
This may be a little bit unfair on my part to say this. Maybe I'm reducing it to too much. But when I see that, when I see, for example, someone that responds to us with horrible grammar and it's hard to follow, I immediately question, how the fuck are we going to have a conversation with you in person?
Yeah.
Are you intelligent enough to sit and have a meaningful conversation over a table from us if this is how you're going to respond to us, digitally?
Yeah.
I question whether that can happen or not. And immediately I'm just kind of disinterested.
Well, what it lends itself to me is because you're writing that way, I have to assume that you speak that way.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And because you speak that way and or write that way, you clearly don't have a lot of intellectual interaction with people, because no one is going to tolerate that in like a professional setting, for example. You're not going to correspond with a coworker or a supervisor or a subordinate even through text message with that kind of with those kinds of grammatical errors and spelling errors. There's fucking spell check on your phone, dude. Figure it out. Regardless, it just doesn't lend itself to someone taking the entire situation seriously. And it's really a turnoff. I know it sounds fucking weird, but to me, it's like feet. I got a thing about women and fucked up feet.
Yeah.
If you're not speaking to me digitally with complete sentences, how the fuck am I supposed to expect you?
It's like jacked
to,
up toenails.
Yeah, it's like your feet are jacked. I can't fuck with you.
Me, it's teeth.
Yeah, if your feet are fucked up, it looks like you've been peeling coconuts, we're done.
Well, to me, it's, what it speaks to is the fact that you and I are very intellectually stimulated. When we are intellectually stimulated by people, it's a turn on for us.
Yeah, for sure.
I have to be able to sit across from you and have you say interesting things that get me to go, oh, wow, you're interesting. I want to hear more about you. I want to interact with you more.
Yeah.
If I don't get that, my panties are not coming off.
Yeah,
if I mean, I'm wearing panties. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you don't typically. But if you were, I get it. We totally get it. You have to be conversant to begin with, right? That's where it starts. So if you're not having a intellectual or healthy conversation of some kind, that we're not going any further. So anyway, single guys, listen up. No fucking emojis. Stop with the emojis and complete your sentences. Use proper punctuation and fucking spelling when you're corresponding with people.
Yes. And single women. And really anyone.
Anyone, really. But single guys for sure.
It's not just the single people either.
No.
I had someone reach out to me on Instagram the other day. We have a lot of people that reach out and are not English speaking people. That's not their first language, and you can tell. I thought that this was one of those couples, only to go to their profile and see that they're from fucking North Carolina.
Yeah, listen.
And it's like they're speaking a different language.
Yeah, if English is not your first language, totally get that. That's, you know, that's a pass. These are not people from another country. They are very much from here, you know? So you have no fucking excuse.
Yeah.
Okay, so just stop it and stop with the emojis. If you can only communicate in emoji, how the fuck am I going to talk to you in person?
Yeah.
You're going to draw me a smiley face on a cocktail napkin?
I would love to see someone do that to you.
Fucking, please, I couldn't.
The look on your face would be fucking priceless.
Yeah, I just can't. So anyway, that's my single guy rant for the week.
All right.
Yeah.
So, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, you had kind of a naughty and interesting interaction with Clint last week.
Interesting?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Well, you kind of had an interesting kind of episode.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, so here's the thing, people. It seems like every time I play with Clint now, something happens.
Something random just happens.
Something that is outside of the norm that is not necessarily sexy.
Not necessarily.
Last week was my fucking, or the last time we talked about him, I should say, it was my fucking face being swollen and bruised.
Well, what I find interesting, though, is not unlike the scenario you're going to go over here in a minute, as unsexy as some of these things are, it never ends with, and we didn't have sex because of that. That's never a thing.
No.
Like, nothing stops the sex. Like, you know, you got, like, that one time you started crying because of the clothespins, right? Well, that didn't stop anything, obviously. You know,
hanger,
yeah. It was a really rough session that you had that one time. That fucking didn't stop anything. And this didn't stop either. But it was really kind of strange.
I'm going to be honest. I wasn't even going to bring that part of it up. But I guess we're going to talk about it.
No, we're going to bring that up for sure.
I wasn't going to talk about it because I think I don't want it to start taking away from how great my interactions are with Clint.
Well, that's my point. They're so good that you don't even let that shit stop you.
Yeah.
That's my point.
I think with almost anyone else, I would.
Well, yeah, exactly. The idea that you guys have kind of built this relationship and this friendship now that lends itself to being able to, you're able to supersede any of the weird shit.
Yeah.
You know, it just transcends the strangeness.
I will also say our Clint episodes have become probably our most popular ones.
Yeah.
And I think there's two reasons for that. One is because I do think it's become like a storyline that people are excited to follow. He's kind of like a character in our lives from the podcast perspective.
Yeah, he totally is.
But I think the other thing is that a lot of the women that listen to our show are super turned on by the idea of Clint.
Well, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
He's a super sexy dude. He's like very primal and dominant and just has this aura of sex appeal to him.
Yeah, yeah.
In our stories. And that's exactly how he is in person, too.
Well,
I mean, he truly, like, in person, he is equally as sexy as, I don't build him up on the podcast.
No.
You know what I mean?
Well, because, I mean, yeah, he's a friend. So it's not like, you're not trying to build him up necessarily because we become friends. It's like, he's like Clint.
You know? Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is I talk about him in a really sexy way on the show. And I would say he's even more sexy in person. I think.
Okay.
What I'm saying is when people listen to this, when they listen to our episodes, we have multiple people that have reached out and are like, oh my God, I'd love to play with Clint. I totally want to bang Clint.
Yeah, they don't even know who he is.
And it's only because of what we talk about on the show, but I'm experiencing so much more, like the fact that every time he comes over, he smells really good.
Right.
Or like every time he comes over, he has his hair kind of like disheveled in this really kind of sexy way. We never talk about those things on the show, but for me, that's what adds extra sex appeal for him. He's just a sexy dude.
Right. So I mean, there's more that you experience than you divulge for the most part. So yeah, and that makes sense. But like I said, for me, the idea that the relationship now has transcended all the kind of weird shit that happens, that for me is the most interesting thing.
So what Brian is referring to, we're just going to get it out of the way here. So Clint comes over, I'm in leopard print lingerie. I was like, I'm going to go fucking all out for this one.
Yeah.
Because we hadn't played in a little bit and I was fucking horny that day.
Yes, you were.
So I put on leopard print lingerie with like this lace that cut down and showed this amazing cleavage,
mm-hmm.
and it had black lace at the bottom. It was extra and awesome and I loved it.
Yes.
And it's really soft too. It's a great texture. And I had lotion on. I did remember to put my hair up this time.
Yeah, smart
because
move.
He fucks it up every fucking time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, my lotion was all over. I was super soft, moisturized, smelling amazing, you know, full face of makeup. I just wanted to look and feel sexy for him that day.
Right.
So he comes upstairs and we talked very briefly and almost immediately started making out. And then he turned me around. So I was facing him, obviously kissing him.
Right.
Then he spins me around. So I'm facing away from him. My back is up against his chest.
Right.
All right. And he grabs me almost like in a chokehold and starts choking me.
Right.
And he choked and then he kind of let go and then he started choking again. It was not hard. I don't know what the fuck was going on that day. I think I was tired. I was very mentally tired because of work and everything we had going on. But that's the only thing I can contribute to this because it wasn't
like he was... Well, you also hadn't eaten.
Yeah, I hadn't eaten. That's true. Yeah, I probably was not in the right physical space to be really playing rough that day, but yeah. I did anyway.
And you weren't hydrated enough. We figured that out.
So what happened is I passed out very quickly and so I guess my body just went limp and he kind of let me fall because he didn't want me to hurt myself trying to hold me up by my fucking neck.
Right.
So he let me go and I fell. As soon as I hit the floor, I realized that I had kind of passed out and I grabbed onto his leg and I thought he was you.
Right.
So I was going to say something to you and then it clicked all of a sudden that it was Clint there.
Right.
It was a very weird experience. The second time that I've ever passed out playing with Clint.
Yes.
But apparently I'm not good at being choked.
Well, no, not necessarily. There's a lot of things that came into play. Like we said, definitely you were dehydrated. You had no water. You didn't eat anything. You didn't really get that much sleep because of work and all that stuff. Because we play that way hard all the time. And you just weren't in the right space physically. That's all it was. You were not physically prepared for that kind of play.
And once again, like you said, with basically any other play partner, it would have been like, okay, we're done. We're not playing today. Let me put on some fucking clothes and you leave.
Yeah.
But he just kind of sat on the floor with me and like was, you know, rubbing my back and so sweet about the whole thing. He's like, I'm so sorry. I wasn't choking you that hard. I was like, I didn't think you were.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can handle quite a bit anyway.
Yeah.
And if he was choking you that hard, you would have made him stop. You would have. You
know. I would have tapped him for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So he felt, I could tell he was concerned and felt bad, but he had no reason to. And I very quickly kind of recovered and sat on the edge of the bed. And he's like, do you want to stop? And I'm like, fuck no, I don't want to stop. I'm in my leopard lingerie. Hey, dude, we're not going to waste this for nothing.
Yeah, I got lingerie and heels and why would you waste that?
I didn't have the heels on.
Oh, no.
Okay. No. But I was definitely prepared for this. I'm not just going to, you know, throw in the towel over a little passing out. Come on. Right.
Yeah, that's a little passing out's not going to get in the way of this.
So it was actually really sweet. He laid me down on my back and was like, well, just let me like go down on you and you can relax for a couple minutes. I'm like, okay. And he ate my pussy like it was his last fucking meal. Let me tell you.
Nice.
I think he was trying to make up for the passing out.
Well, yeah, in all fairness, he did choke you out. So.
But it was perfect. It was like he would lick a kind of around my pussy and then he would lick my asshole just a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he'd lick my clit and then he'd stop just as I was kind of getting excited. And then he'd start the whole process over again. And it drove me fucking crazy. And then I love the hard suction on my clit. That's my thing.
Yep.
Love that more than anything in the world. And he started doing that over and over and over again. And it was like, I would come and instead of giving me a break, he would immediately go back to it.
Which, you're super
sensitive. I get so sensitive after I come that it's painful for about 3 seconds and then it's mind-blowing pleasure again.
Breathe on it. You're so sensitive.
But he just kept going at it and going at it. He made me come like 4 times like that. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then he had me get on my back and he put on a condom and he fucked me for just a couple of minutes. It was really nice. But he had other plans.
Yeah, sure.
So he asked before I got there to have my favorite wand out. So I had our new Hitachi wand that's cordless out. It's fucking powerful.
Yeah, that thing is so fucking powerful.
And I knew after him licking my clit that I wasn't going to be able to use full force with this. So I put it on like the second, maybe the third setting.
Yeah.
And he told me to lay on my stomach and put that on my clit. So I had the wand on my clit. It was like under me, tucked. And so it was right on my clit, this direct pressure onto it. and he took his belt out from his jeans and started spanking me with the belt, hitting me with the belt.
Right.
And it was lovely. It was so nice because he wasn't, I mean, obviously I like some of that pain. I love the impact, but this was not a session where he was trying to make me uncomfortable or get me to some sort of pain threshold. That's not what this was at all.
No, just it was just a kind of a juxtapose of sensations between the vibrator and maybe the thuddiness of the belt.
That's exactly what it was. And so I would get close. He could tell when I was getting fairly close to orgasm with the wand on my clit. And so he would pick up the intensity with the belt. He'd ruin my orgasm, which was both fun and fucking frustrating.
Yeah, which was absolutely his intention.
So my mind is spinning between like, oh my God, I'm going to come. No, wait, I can't come because right. now my ass hurts. Right. And he's like hitting my ass and my thighs and just down to my calves. My calves are really sensitive yeah. and can't take a ton of impact, which he totally knows.
Yeah.
So just, you know, as he's getting to a pretty good impact level on my ass, he'd switch over to my calves. I was lost in a right. sensation. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's overly stimulated at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, it was really, really nice. So by the time he decided to stop all of that, turn the wand off, actually, he stopped hitting me. I came explosively with the wand, and then he wanted to fuck me again. Okay. I was like, sure. So he puts on another condom, and he fucked me again on my back very, very briefly, and then he flipped me over, and I love when he fucks me like this. I love when you fuck me like this, too. So he gets on top of me and mm-hmm. puts my legs together.
Yeah.
So it's really, really tight,
yeah.
and it's deep. There's a lot of deep penetration that's happening, but he also has access to, you know, grabbing my ass or grabbing onto my bun or yeah. kind of grabbing me around the neck. Obviously, he didn't do that super hard because he didn't want me to pass out right. twice in one day. But
yeah, that would have been a record.
He definitely provided all of that stimulation while he's fucking me.
Right.
So I remember very distinctly at one point, he can also lean down and bite me, which he totally fucking did. So at one point, he has a grip on one of my shoulders hard, and it's almost like hitting a little bit of a pressure point, which I liked a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I know it sounds weird, but it was this nice, weird pressure going on. And at the same time, he grabs onto my other shoulder and leans down and bites me hard.
Where did he bite you?
On my shoulder.
On your shoulder.
And so once again, it's that the combination of pain pleasure.
Right.
The pain of the bite mixed with the fact that I'm like right on the brink of orgasm once again ruins an orgasm, which most people think is like, oh, that's not a good thing. You don't want to ruin an orgasm.
Right.
For me, what it means is just that much more intensity and pressure built up for when I actually do have the orgasm. So I fucking love it.
Yeah. All that it's doing is, you know, extending the time it's going to take for your orgasm. It's inevitable that that's going to happen. He's just teasing you is all he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which
he's good
like.
At that. Yeah. But he's good at teasing me in a way that still, because what I hate is like when I'm being teased and, for example, I'm getting fucked really hard and then the fucking stops and it's zero sensation whatsoever happening. And what that does is it takes me completely out of that mindset.
Well,
and it goes from sexual hot frustration to just plain frustration.
Well, yeah, that's not teasing. You've had that happen. Guys have done that to you before.
I fucking hate that.
And that's not a tease. That's just like just a lack of understanding.
Well, it's the same thing with like when he was going down on me. He was definitely teasing me.
Right.
But he wasn't like suctioning on my clit and then just completely stopping all sensation.
Right.
What he was doing was suctioning on my clit and then he'd stop and kind of lick around my pussy or put his tongue inside of my pussy, but he'd stop the sensation right on my clit, knowing that that was creating a buildup for me.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So it was a different type of tease.
Yeah, but you've had guys who were going down on you who you were super close to having an orgasm who just basically just stopped.
Yeah, I fucking hate that.
Because they weren't able to identify the fact that you were getting ready to come.
Well, I'm sorry, but that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life because my breathing picks up, my legs start
shaking.
It's
so obvious when you're at that point.
If you don't fucking know, then you are paying zero attention to the signs.
Yeah, I mean, you're just, obviously, they're not in tune. I mean, because it's so obvious. You're not paying attention. You're not trying to pay attention. You don't want to pay attention, whatever, because it's painfully obvious.
Yeah.
So
anyway, he's biting me and he's, you know, kind of pressing his hands into me. At one point, he grabbed onto my hips. I really like, he's done this multiple times where he'll grab onto my hips and use it as leverage.
Yeah.
So he almost kind of like leans back as he's forcing his cock into me so hard and so deep. It creates this amazing angle and it hits just the right spot. Drives me crazy. So I am coming and coming and coming. And then, you know, pretty quickly after he came.
Right.
And I've said this so many times, but one of my favorite things about playing with Clint is when he has his orgasm, because it's just like everything that has been building up just is released all at the same time. And then he's just fucking spent.
Right.
So he'll just lay all of his body weight on me and he's breathing hard. And I think why it turns me on is because I know he was really fucking working for it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He was really putting in an effort, and that's sexy.
Yeah. There's no phoning it in. I mean, it's, you know, that's legit.
It was hot.
So I came home later that night. And so when we were having sex, you were still sensitive. Like, I couldn't use the wand on you.
No.
At full setting.
No.
It was just too much. So you were still sensitive from the afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was a crazy. Lot of clit play. I mean, between him licking me and the wand and the different angles he was fucking me, where he was hitting my clit. And then I will be very fucking honest, when he left, I definitely used my wand again on my own. So, I mean, there was a lot of clitoral stimulation happening throughout the day. So, yeah, by the time you and I played, it was like my clit was...
too sensitive.
Very, yeah.
Yeah, you were
more
sensitive.
So than I think it's ever been.
Yeah, I could barely... I mean, usually that we have the wand up, you know, like the full setting. And I had to put it all the way down just to be able to get you, just to be able to touch you with it, because you were so sensitive. So it was super fucking hot though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that, knowing that like you couldn't use toys on me the same way because somebody else had already played with me? Was that weird for you? Or?
No, not really. I mean, I know how your body reacts to stuff. And if you were that sensitive, there was no point in trying to like force that.
It.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So, you know, we found other methods. That's all. I went down on you and you were super sensitive.
Yeah.
It was tough for you to like... to take it for as long as I did it.
Well, you went down on me and I came, and then I was ultra sensitive. And yeah. I remember even just feeling your like hot breath on my clit.
Yeah.
I was like, holy fuck, that created a sensation for me.
Yeah, it was just, you were obviously, it was overly stimulated by the end of the day. So we just changed course.
It was tired. My clit was tired.
For sure.
It was ready for bed.
Yeah. So what was the conversation like after? Did he say anything about you having passed out, or what was that?
No, we didn't really talk about it again. We briefly talked about it after it happened, and he was like, you know, because the last time I passed out, it was I think it's because I took NyQuil the night before. I wasn't feeling awesome, so I took NyQuil to be able to fall asleep. So I think I was still really drowsy. I think it has to do with being tired. If I feel tired, fatigued, if I'm worn out, I really struggle with being choked.
Well, obviously, it's something to be, you know, you gotta watch out for next time. You know that you need to be hydrated to play rough. That's a given. You should definitely eat something in the morning. You didn't do any of those things.
No,
you were working all day, and it just none of that happened. So you just weren't prepared for aggressive play.
Yeah, and I said this the last time we talked about a Clint interaction when the whole face thing happened. I don't see it as a bad thing when any of these things happen. I see it as a learning opportunity. I see it as me understanding myself and my body in different ways than I ever have before. So while some people may see it as weird that I think it's a good thing that I passed out, I see it as, okay, now I know for next time, you know, A, B, and C needs to happen in order for me to safe play.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
No, I mean, again, we figured out where your limits were, right? When the couple of times before when you played, it was really rough. And so, you know there are certain things you can and cannot tolerate. Certainly, you know now that you can't just jump into play without being hydrated
fed
and those
water.
Kind of things.
Yeah. Like a dog.
Yeah. Like a plant. You know, you need those things. Otherwise, you're just not going to be able to get into that space. It's like a massage, right? After a massage, you've got to be hydrated.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of intensity going on. So you've got to make sure you know that you're doing that. So, well, what I found interesting was that the whole relationship has transcended any of that shit, and it just doesn't stop the play. You know, there's a intermission, obviously,
right.
But it doesn't necessarily stop anything. And you actually said after, like when I got home and you were telling me what happened, that because of that, it was less rough than really your play has been with him since the beginning.
This was a much more sensual interaction between the two of us than we've had in a very long time.
What was that like? It was a very different from normal play with him. So what was that transition like?
There was not an effort that had to go into it. I feel like he and I are comfortable enough with each other and with our play that it kind of just, it flows in whatever direction it needs to.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking like, oh, I hope this is a more sensual interaction after that.
Right.
I'm not sure he even mentally was going, oh, I have to be way less rough. I think it was an organic thing that happened based on the whole me passing out thing, and our entire mental picture of the play changed at the, you know, drop of a hat. And that's very cool. I mean, the fact that I can have that with a playmate is amazing.
Well, probably subconsciously he was being less aggressive because of that. Just as you said, organically, he wasn't really necessarily thinking about it. It probably just happened naturally,
right?
You know, which is important. And the idea that, you know, the whole session or the whole relationship, and you know, sexually, kind of stays fluid.
Yes.
And like whatever has to happen takes place. And if something out of the norm happens, you just kind of figure it out.
You roll with the punches. Yeah. That's the coolest thing, is that we can deviate from quote unquote the plan. Because I know that he was expecting more rough play.
For sure.
He had, you know, the whole belt thing going on in his head. And I just know him well enough to know that he was, and the choking thing starting out
that way,
that he planned for this to be a more impactful session.
Yeah.
And the fact that we can change that very quickly based on, you know, a wrench that's thrown into it, and it's not going to ruin the entire thing, is very fucking cool.
Yeah. And then of course when you and I were playing that night, I knew already that it happened, so I wasn't trying to be as aggressive as we normally are either. It was still, you know, more aggressive than most people would consider, you know, not aggressive. But you know, you take steps to make sure that it's again, it's fluid. It's like, okay, she had this experience, maybe I'm not choking her tonight. Right. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you just got to be cognizant of that.
Yeah, I'm lucky. Both of you are very mindful of my needs in that way.
Well, yeah, but for me, obviously, that's the way it should be. But the idea that you've got a partner that's capable of doing that is a big deal. I don't think Aiden is any different necessarily. I think he would certainly identify a situation like that and adjust the play.
I would agree with that. I think that's why both of them have become people that I enjoy spending time with, because it's not just about the sex. It's also about the fact that I know I can trust them, that I feel safe with them, that there is no part of my brain that's ever going, oh God, I don't know if this is a good idea with them.
Right.
That's never there. And that's really fucking cool.
Yeah, because that could, you know, again, the situation would be very different, but were you to have been with someone that maybe you didn't know to the level that you know Clint or even Aiden at this point, if you had passed out, if that had happened, that would have been a very different situation.
Well, I wouldn't have let someone that I don't know choke me either.
Right, but again, it wasn't like he was trying. It was just it was circumstance. So had that something like that had happened, that whole situation would have been very different.
Yes.
You know, and then of course probably you wouldn't have seen him again, because I would have had to have a conversation with him.
You would have been fucking pissed.
So, you know, but the fact that it was Clint, we know what happened. We understand the level of play and, you know, those kinds of things. It's kind of like, wow, that, you know, it was unusual. And you and I laughed about it, you know, but it was interesting.
Yeah. How is it hearing these things? Like in terms of when I tell you, hey, I passed out during, because I could see the look on your face. You were home when I told you about it.
Yeah. I had just gotten home. Well, my reaction is based on your reaction. So the fact that you weren't super concerned about it tells me that I don't need to be super concerned about it. But if you were, then of course my concern is heightened.
Right.
But the fact that you were so kind of nonchalant about it, and it was like matter of fact, like
it really wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah. So then I know that I don't need to be worried about it. But it really, my reaction kind of is based on your reaction.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't hurt. I wasn't, this wasn't a painful thing. It wasn't as if I fell and fucking hit my head or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just wasn't that big of a deal.
Right. And it wasn't intentional, obviously.
No.
And if you felt like there was something wrong, obviously it wouldn't have continued. So, and again, the way you kind of explained it to me tells me that I didn't have to be concerned about it.
Right.
You know, so as long as you're not concerned about it, I'm not concerned about it.
So I think goal for next Clint interaction is to not have any,
not pass out.
to not have anything but sexy shit to say.
Right. Maybe not like.
No injury.
Yeah. No cautionary tale.
That would be nice. Quote unquote lessons learned.
Yeah.
Other
noted.
Than, fuck, that was hot. Let's do it again.
Yeah. Except for the passing out part. Let's not do that again.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's again, you said it's a learning lesson. You got to kind of figure yourself out as you go along the process. So, tonight you're going to meet Aiden.
Yes.
What is your anticipation for that? What are you thinking?
I don't have any anticipation. I'm going into it with a completely open mind.
Has he said, hey, wear this or do that, or let's do this or let's do that?
Nope. And I'm hoping that he doesn't, actually. I just want to go and have it be organic, because I think that when he and I do that with each other, when we allow it to flow, it's better for both of us. When it's too planned or it feels too orchestrated in some way, it tends to take away from he and I truly connecting with each other.
Right.
And so I'm hoping that we can get away from that for a while and not have it be so, you know, we're going to do A, B, and C type thing.
Not so structured.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like the structured play. I talked once about the high protocol thing and really wanting to find a dom who could provide that for me. And the more that I play with two guys that are playing a more dominant role and really understanding myself on a different level, I'm not sure that I'm built for that.
Well, I mean, you and I, our relationship originally started out potentially in that role, but it very quickly morphed into something entirely different. So I don't know necessarily that you're built for that. Occasionally, I don't think it's a bad thing. You and I play that way, you know, when it's the right time for you, you know, but I don't think on a consistent basis that that works for you. I just think you need too much variety, and that doesn't lend itself to variety. That's very static.
I get bored very, very quickly is the problem.
Yeah. So I think you just kind of go with the flow, like you said, see what happens.
And I'm not super great with authority.
No, you're terrible at it.
Actually. Rude. You're not supposed to agree.
Terrible at it. So, yeah, I don't think that works for you. Like I said, there's a time for that, but not on a consistent basis.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just open to whatever tonight. I have, like I said, zero plans, zero expectations, other than I want to get fucked.
Well, there you have it. You heard it here first.
And I want to come home to you and have you reclaim me.
Well, you're going to be there. You're leaving pretty early, so it won't be a terribly late night for you, probably.
No.
So we got plenty of time.
For sure.
Yeah. That'd be good.
So, hey guys, I think that's our story for you this week. If you want to find us on social media, you should.
You totally can.
Twitter and Instagram at FP Swingers. They're both blowing the fuck up right now. So thank you very much for those of you who have already gone and followed us. We share some really fun shit there, so make sure you don't miss out. You can also find our lifestyle resources page on our website, frontporchswingers.com. We put up new blogs and have guest blogs on there. It's a great place to just keep in touch with things going on in the lifestyle, some of our thoughts and some thoughts from some really cool other folks.
Yes.
If you are not already subscribed to us on Podbean and Apple iTunes, please do so. Make sure that you hear about our new episodes first. Don't forget to check out our Patreon community at patreon.com/frontporchswingers. Anything you want to throw in this week?
Nope, that's it. We're just excited about all the new people that are on board with FPS. Got a lot of lots of new followers. People just jumping on Podbean, jumping on YouTube. We got so many people looking at our YouTube videos. It's great. Getting a lot of emails from people. Just really, now it's turned into positive stuff. Lots of positive emails and comments.
Very much so, which is really, really fantastic. And makes me feel warm and fuzzy when we get that shit. So keep it coming, guys. You're awesome.
Yeah.
And that's what we have for you guys this week. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
If you're anything like us when we first started swinging, we really had no idea where to begin. And it can be really intimidating. And we have a great recommendation for you, which is to join Cassidy.com. Cassidy is a huge online platform that includes so many sexy swingers in your area, plus lots of local events to keep you up to date on all things lifestyle. And if you join Cassidy, you can find our community, Front Porch Swingers, and keep up with everything we are doing as well. So make sure you check out Cassidy.com today.